Good morning. Sorry, the time change got me. Deeply apologize. For those of you guys who don't know me, my name is Gene, last name June. I'm married to that beautiful woman in the back. And the battalion of children you see following her are all ours. We've had them all together. Pastor Ron asked me last week if I would he asked me last week if I would come up here and share a message on thankfulness. And that's probably the only message I would accept within a week to prepare. Because if I were to come up here and talk to you all, I really want to share with you guys how thankful I am to have been a part of this church for 24 years. And that's where the 24 years of thankfulness. I know you guys thought I was 24 years old. Actually, no. I'm actually 44. Whew. 44 years old. Been coming to this church for 24 years. So I've actually been coming here a little more than 50% of my entire lifetime, people. And glad to be here. I've seen so many beautiful faces. And there are lots of beautiful faces here. Today, I want to take you through a little bit of a journey of my time here in this church. And I wanted to talk about three things that I've been most thankful for, and that is family, faith, and the finishing work of Jesus in my life. I have notes. They're scribbled. But I hope at the end you don't get my notes, you get my heart. New guy, see a lot? All right. Good. I'm going to get at least a few people going to cheer for me. So I'm Haitian. I was born in Haiti. My dad, being a very visionary man, brought us here to America with just a better vision and hope for us. Raised up in Palm Beach, came up here in Tallahassee, Florida, to go to attend Florida State University. I came to know Christ that year. I was playing football at Florida State. Dave Van Hallinger was his strength coach. He invited me to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting. The second meeting, I gave my life to Christ. Then God brought me to this church because God had a plan for me. He was bringing me into a family. Now, in Psalm 68, verse 6, it reads, God sets the lonely in families. Now, when I read that verse at first, I would think the lonely are those people that are just rejected by the world. No one wants to be their friend. They can't find anywhere to go. And God says, here, let me put you into a family. Because we Christians, we're just rejected people. No one else wants us. So God's going to make a family for us so we have a place to call home. But if you're Haitian, you know Haitians aren't raised to be lonely, rejected people who don't do anything. If you're Haitian, you learn to get things done by the age of 3 years old. Or else you're going to have a belt in your rear. And my dad, being visionary and being a pioneer, he taught me very early, you better get things done. And so I learned very early in life to be an achiever, achieve. You get things done. You don't just get things done. You get things done right. That's just the Haitian way of doing things. You got to get things done right. And then you start getting success, and you feel yourself being successful, and people start recognizing you for things, and you think, well, goodness gracious, this is what the world says I'm supposed to do. And then you're successful, and you find out that success is not a home. success is actually very lonely. And what God had for me was a family. See, God showed me that he has a family for me. Now, what's family? The mom and dad who tells you things you don't want to hear. The annoying little sisters and brothers who embarrass you everywhere you go. Family is that thing from a young child growing up, you can't wait to leave. I want to grow up, move far away from all these people so I can go and do my thing. At least that's what I was thinking. I don't know about you all. That's what I was thinking. And then you go out and start doing your thing, and you realize, man, these clothes stink. I need to drive back home so I can wash them. Man, I'm getting hungry. And my mom cooks some pretty good fried chicken. Or grill. Leggy. Yes. Man, I'm feeling lonely. And dad always understood me. You realize home is something special. Do you realize Michael Jordan has a family? He does. LeBron James has a family. And do you realize everyone in LeBron James' family can't dunk like he does? I bet you there are a lot of people in LeBron's family who can't even dribble a basketball. And I promise you that when LeBron James goes to his family reunion, they are like, hey, LeBron James, man. Like, brother, sit down. That's what family is. Family is that place you go and you kick back. And you can just be you. Because performance is a chain. You perform one good time and you're more anxious the next time if you'll perform just as good. But when you're with family, you have a seat at the table. You have a bed to lay your head. You have a mom to give you a hug. You have a sister and brother to annoy you. That is family. And that's what God brought me and gave me here in this church. The Miller family. Pastor Ron, gorgeous Cindy, his wonderful children. Now, I know Pastor Ron's a pretty good preacher now. We had these Champions for Christ meetings that started at 9:45 at night. And Pastor Ron preached every Champions Night. He didn't have his points. He just had pages and pages and pages of thoughts. And he would go on and on and on and on and on until you passed out. And then he would end. That was that dad. I'm like, God, why? Has anybody ever asked the Lord, why? Why? Why is that my dad? My dad and I, we're reconciled now, okay? We are 100% reconciled now. I will tell him I love you. He will tell me I love you back. But we had some hard years growing up. Not a good example growing up. And all I knew growing up was I did not want to be like my dad. But I had no idea how to be like. That man was the man that God used to show me how to be like. It was the first time I ever saw a man submit to his wife. First time. It was the first time coming from someone who had seen abuse to see a man let his wife chew him out and not talk back. And Pastor Ron probably remembers that day. I was sitting in the back of the van. We're traveling up to a Champions for Christ conference. I was in the back of the van. Cindy was going off and off and off and off and off, and she didn't stop. She went on. She went, I don't know what he did. All Pastor Ron did was, I'll fix it. I'll fix it. And when she was done, he got out of the car, walked away, came back. About, I don't know, 10 minutes later, I remember, I'm not sure if you remember this, I said, Pastor Ron, that was special. That was special. That meant a lot to me. You love your wife. And I've never seen a man not strike back. That was family. God was trying to show me something, what it meant to be in family. He brought me the Kimmel family because God wanted to give me a vision for a big family. They had six. I guess Ed put two extra something in my back pocket for me because God blessed me with eight. And then the Westmark family. Cindy Westmark, she's not here today. She fed me like a queen. I mean, I'm a king, excuse me. She fed me like a king. She was the queen. God was using me to pour into David back then, but God really had me there for Cindy to pour into me. See, I was broken, and not many people could see that. Because when you're successful on the outside, it's hard to see the brokenness on the inside. And see, this church tends to draw in a lot of successful people, but there are a lot of successful, lonely people. And what I want to share with you today is to receive what God has given you. Receive the family. And understand family, you're either born into or adopted, but it's never your choice. You're either born or adopted, but it's never your choice. It's a gift that God's given to you. And yes, there are people who are going to annoy you. There are leaders and authorities that you're going to wish like just wouldn't say anything to you. But it's a gift. It's been a gift for me. It's healed me. It's made me whole. I can daddy my children, my eight children, because of the vision that I've seen ahead of me. Because I'm part of a family. I want y'all to receive that gift. Second is faith. And I love talking about faith. Let me tell you about the faith that God produced in me just to be a part of this church. I was a walk-on in the FSU football team first before I got a scholarship. Walk-on means you play, but they don't pay. So I was paying for everything. And I was attending another church here. I won't tell you which church it is, but it's a very, they have lots of resources. And I was serving in that church. And the leader, the pastor, came to me and said, hey, I like how you serve. And I know that you're now on scholarship, so here's what we're going to do. We got a position that will pay you enough to cover school. Wow. Y'all, that was awesome. At that time, I was going to that church in the morning, and I was going to this church at night because we had evening services. Then all of a sudden, this church decides to go and have day services. Well, guess what? Can't go to both. It's one or the other. And that happened at the same time they made the offer to me. And I prayed on it to see what God wanted me to do. And God said, I want you to go to this church. I had no idea how I was going to pay for anything, but by faith, I obeyed. I said no to the money and yes to obedience. Now listen, we were not here. We didn't have a home. We didn't have a place. We just met wherever we could find. Okay, we went from the Wesley Foundation to Florida High to Godby. Stuff wasn't set up. We had a breakdown and set up every morning. And I was a part of that. And I said no to a mega church where everything was set with the offering money to come here and set up and break down every day because I knew this is where obedience was. Faith is the only eyes that we have to look forward. Everything else is only looking backwards. And you never know what it is, but only faith will give you the assurance that, yes, this is the right decision. Fear is just misplacing your trust in who controls the forward. Now, with that kind of start, do you think that I was just going to leave easily? Ever? 24 years. How many times do you think I had thoughts of leaving this church? Come on. Some of you guys have been here for 24 minutes, you've already had thoughts of leaving this church. It happens to everybody. I don't care if you're a pastor or you're a person sitting in the back. Those thoughts come. Only by faith and taking steps of faith can you stick. I had moments where, again, you kind of fall into meager times again. And I thought, man, I wonder if I could just go to another church and, you know, get a job, you know, working for the church. God always said what? He said no. Faith. He always says faith. I'm thankful for the gift of faith because of this. When I look at my kids, I realize they're going to walk through some pretty challenging times. They already are. They got to make some pretty big decisions. We got two teenagers in the house now. Two. A boy and a girl. Both have their challenges. And you feel the winds wanting to just kind of rock them back and forth. And we know that we've sown the word in them, but we also know there's a devil out there. There's an enemy out there. And we know we give them good friends, but we know the enemy attacks them friends too. And we know there's crazy ideas just floating around out there. And because I've also lived life, I also know how easy it is to just be swept away by a crazy idea. I'm so thankful for the gift of faith because beyond just what I say, I've lived something. And I know it's what they see in me. Not just me, but this family that we are a part of. I always like to give this imagery of faith. Book of Hebrews says, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know you have faith, you know you have belief, because faith is like being pregnant. You haven't seen the baby, but there's evidence something is there. You know you have faith, you know you have belief in this, because when you have faith, there's something there that's on its course to an outward manifestation. And when you have that faith, praise God, thank you, Jesus, that I am a man and not a woman, because I've seen my wife go through it many times, and I don't think I could. So women, I'm praising you right now. But when you have faith, it's on its course, and you know that you are going through something, and you're going to have to go through something to see the manifestation of it, right? Amen? You know that you have faith. There's something there. The only way out of it is death. You see, when you're pregnant with something, you are so committed, the only way out of it is death. I want you to understand that. When you have committed to something, I'm committed to this path with Jesus. I'm walking down this path. And the only way out of it is to kill it. You see, 24 years of being in this family, I told myself, the only way out of this is to kill what God has begun. So, yes, I'm going through it. I'm going through it. I'm more afraid when my wife is pregnant than she is. Because as soon as she's pregnant, I know we're going through it. We're going through it. And we have to go through it until what? It manifests and come out. Now, don't understand the way the world tries to make you understand that. Because I'm going to give you a different example here. When I preached this message for the college ministry, Ben and Ashley were pregnant with child number one. You guys remember what happened with child number one? God took him. So what happened there? They never became unpregnant. They never became unpregnant. Because after that, Ben and Ashley did what? They kept what? Believing. They kept believing. You see, something was coming. They knew it, and they did what? They kept believing. And see, what's happened is, okay, God told me I'm going to have this job. I'm going to have this job. I don't get this job. So what happened? You keep what? You keep believing. You keep believing. Oh, Pastor Ron, yeah, God's going to grow this church. He's going to grow this church. It's going to be a 200, 300 member church. And we go down to a 50 member church. What do? You stop? No, you do what? You keep what? Keep believing. Think about Abraham and Sarah. God's put this promise. What's happening? We're trying. Why isn't it happening? You have to do what? Keep what? Believing. Faith is a hard thing. But it's an easy thing if you put it in the hands of God. How do you stand firm? Be thankful for the gift of faith. Last point, the finish. How many people here love the finished product? I love the finished product. I love it. Brand new car. I love the finished product. You love seeing gold shine? I love the finished product. I love my mom is done cooking. I love the finished product. But very few people can make it through the finishing process. If you think of anything that you're trying to finish, the finishing process is hard work. It's a grind. It's brutal. And I don't care how much QVC tries to make it look simple. It ain't simple. As soon as you buy it, it is hard work. Raising children, hard work. Now, you always hear self-starters. I'm a self-starter, but I don't finish everything I start. I have lots of ideas, but I can't finish every idea. Because of why? The finishing process. The finishing work. You get pregnant. Oh, that is so cute. Huh? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Come carry this baby. It's work. You want to be an athlete? Oh, yeah. You're going to play for Florida State. You're going to play for Miami, whatever. Yeah. 2 days. The work is hard. It's a finishing process. The Bible says that God is the author and perfecter of our faith. And that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. We can start, only God can finish. Only God can finish. And it's great when we have 20 people up here with a new membership certificate. But how many of them will be here 3 months, 4 months from now? You see, when you start, everyone's there to clap and applause. They're so excited. But then you're off into a journey, a finishing process, a finishing work. And God is the one who's faithful to what? Finish it. We've seen many people fall because they didn't know that this work that God began, he has to finish. He has to finish it. And it's trials and testing that God uses to finish that work. It's me waking up, setting up and break down. It's me joining Mama Miller's team for 4.5 years, cleaning the church. Because God is using those moments to do the finishing work. And here's the news. It's not finished until it's finished. And God must do that work. There will be days you'll come to this church, and it's going to be so exciting. It's great. You're going to feel good. It's like the Spirit's moving. Diana's got this thing going on. Yeah. And you're ready to go. And then there'll be days you'll come here, it's like, well, maybe this means I need to go across the street to that church over there. Or I need to go join that congregation over there. Because I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. What you're feeling is the finishing work of the Lord. Yeah. And the finishing process is a grind. But you have to go through it to get there. And the way you get through it is with thankfulness. Lord, I thank you. That even when my wife and I were making $11,000 a year with 3 children, we were still able to tithe joyfully. Thank you, Lord, that the Millers never gave up on us. No matter how foolish we acted. Thank you for folks like Josiah and Ethan and Noah, who we prayed for and we watch grow up. We see God's what? Faithfulness. Now, praise God that I'm not long-winded, and we're going to wrap up pretty soon here. But before I wrap up, I always ask God if he has a prophetic word to speak through me, that he would. And I believe that he has laid a prophetic word in my heart for everyone here. He has a home for you. God has made you successful. He's made you an achiever. He's given you a home. There are specific people that I want to leave a word for today. Because I remember when I was a college student here. Never thought I would still be here 24 years later. Never thought that God would establish me as an elder in the church. Never thought he would give me 8 wonderful, beautiful children. I just had to come every single day out of obedience. Didn't always feel good. I felt dry at times. Just kept obeying. Just kept obeying. Just kept obeying. And he just kept taking me the next step. And I'd just be thankful. I'd say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. And when I felt bad, I'd find someone else. And I would run to them. I would just start speaking words of encouragement over them just out of thankfulness. Like, I don't know, things, I'm not feeling right. But, hey, I think that before I can leave you today, I can leave you with a few words to make you feel better. Just out of thankfulness. Crystal? Yeah. Nelson? Yeah. Matt? Summer? Rovins, Blake. God specifically put each of you guys on my heart this morning and had me praying for you all. I want to leave you with this word of encouragement. And church, please stand as witnesses for them. Fight the good fight of faith. Faith is a fight. The Lord has a large inheritance for you. He doesn't want to withhold it for himself. He wants to give it. And the Lord says, fight the good fight of faith, for your inheritance is large. And you too will stand boldly one day, proclaiming victory over the battles that you're going through now. And thus said the Lord, he is setting you and establishing you to be a rock, firm and unmovable by his power and by his grace. If y'all can stand, please. As I was speaking those words, I'm sure there are many other people that God was moving in your heart, and he was saying, that's for you too. He said, that's for you too. And he says, all you have to do to receive it is be thankful. Just say thank you. Just say thank you. God's going to do his finishing work through you. No eyes closed. If you feel that word was for you, I want to pray for you. You can come up here and I'll pray for you right now. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for those who've come up. They've come up by faith. They weren't waiting for a feeling. They're coming out of obedience by faith to receive what you have for them with thankfulness. Father, I don't know what each of them are going through. I don't know what's troubling their hearts, their spirits, or their mind right now. I don't know the vision that you've laid in their hearts. Lord God, I don't know the things you've spoken over them. I just know one thing. You are good. And if you said it, you're going to finish it. You're going to complete it. You're not going to leave them abandoned. You're not going to leave them alone. You're going to finish the work that you began in them. And right now, I pray that you fill them with your Holy Spirit. Touch them, move in them, speak words of encouragement to them. Let them always feel your presence near. Thank you that they are part of this house and that you have them with us during this time. And I pray that you'd use us to minister to them, whatever you do in their life. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.